Thank you, Eddie. We ended up having quite a few altos, beautiful voices this morning. Appreciate your encouragement and song. If you have a Bible, if you would please turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at a text there in just a few moments. I want to talk to you in our final hour of study today about a great opportunity. This week, we will have our fifth summer Bible study. It's hard to believe that we have been doing this now for 5 years. If you are visiting with us, or if you have not been with us since we've had this, by way of explanation, our summer Bible study is very similar to what many in some places will speak of as a VBS, because of some of the denominational connections that have been practiced in the panhandle. We have chosen rather to simply speak of it as a summer Bible study. Certainly Scripture authorizes the teaching of God's Word to various ages. The theme, as Jeff mentioned, this year is focused on great escapes. When this was first announced, one of the members said, that makes me think of that movie with Steve McQueen years ago, The Great Escape. And it tickled me because the very week she mentioned that, that movie was on TV. But this is not that great escape, but instead it is talking about some of the escapes that are discussed in Scripture. Noah escaping the flood. The fact that Jesus escaped from the tomb in his victory over death. And the fact that in Christ we may escape condemnation. In those 3 days, we're going to look at these biblical principles in which we have the opportunity to escape from condemnation and these great ways in which God granted escape to Noah, and then Jesus escaped the tomb. The timing for this will be Thursday and Friday. This is a little bit longer than our normal periods of time, because what we usually do is we'll come together, we'll sing a few songs, and then we'll split up into classes. The teachers in both the adult class in the auditorium and in the children's wing will have a full hour for study. But then we come back together, and as Jeff mentioned, we will quiz the kids a little bit on some things that they've learned. We'll sing some songs. You know, a lot of times the emphasis seems to be more upon adult teaching, at least as we are together as a whole. We give the opportunity during these studies for there to be some times in which we are engaging the children and the younger people in this, but then we'll also extend an invitation. So about an hour and a half each time. Thursday and Friday we'll meet first at 7, it'll end about 8:30, and then Saturday will run from 10 to 11:30. I want us to think about this, and I wanted to devote our time today to think about this and to encourage one another, because this is something that is unique, a unique kind of opportunity. As I mentioned, it is something that offers classes for all ages. I recognize that each Sunday morning and Wednesday, we do that here at this place. We'll offer classes for all ages. But this is a little bit different, and it is focused a little bit different than we often do. It becomes an opportunity to engage young people. And I think that there is little that is more encouraging than to see young people excited about faith. You know, it's very easy sometimes in our generation to either get discouraged. We were talking in class about how sometimes old folks like me can look at the world and see how it's changing, and we may begin to lose hope, or we may begin to think, well, things are not what they ought to be. You look in the faces of those young people that are the future and see those that love the Lord and are excited about it, and it is an encouragement. You know, when we had our personal work groups sometime back, I always tried to, in our personal work group, to engage the young people in that, because there's something that just enlivens those who are older when they see people learning for the first time some of these things. And I want to tell you, this is a unique kind of situation where you can see some of that. And the cynicism that can so easily become a part of older age, I think, can help kind of fade away a little bit when you see some of these young people in that kind of situation. It is a time of encouragement and edification. You know, I mentioned that we have chosen the name that we have because I think sometimes in these kinds of situations, it has become
a little bit too much about entertainment. And there have been some that have even engaged in unauthorized kinds of activities, making it about snacks and games and that kind of thing. That's not going to be what this is about. It is about encouragement and edification. There is some enthusiasm that's a part of it, though. And I think that's appropriate, because it is important for us to be excited about our faith. It is important for us to be joyous about what we have in Christ and to try to help pass that on to our young people. But as has also been mentioned, this is going to be a reunion of sorts for many of us, because we're going to be able to have the opportunity to be able to be and to spend time with those that grew up here. Brady Cook, as was mentioned, grew up here, and so many of us know him and we have a connection to him. But also with those that are a part of the preacher training program in years past. And when we extended the invitations to them and I talked to each of these gentlemen, we specifically asked if it'd be possible for them to be able to bring their families and to bring their kids and to be here for that week. And I know some of the teachers may be a little bit anxious about that. I think Kathy's class, they started counting about 12 kids that are going to come from some of those preachers' families and all that. But that's exciting. And that's a great opportunity in which we're going to be able to renew our time with these folks that are friends from the past, and to also sit at their feet and study God's Word and to grow. You know, I feel a little bit sorry for those that have to teach that won't be able to be in here and renew their acquaintance in that same way, but they have that great opportunity to teach and to edify the kids, and I will do my very best. We'll get recordings of those, and we'll try to put that up on the website, so you'll be able to enjoy that in that way as well. You know, sometimes when we do these kinds of things, I think it may be a little bit easy for those of us that are older to think, well, okay, that's more for kids. Well, remember, we are doing it different than there have been churches that will only do it for young people and not even offer adult classes. That's never been the way that it has been in the 5 years that Olson Park has been doing the summer study. But lest you imagine, well, it's just, even with that, it's still more of a focus on young people. You may think, well, I don't really need to attend that. Why should I plan to attend? I want to spend just a few moments offering to you some reasons that you and I should plan to be here for that this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. First of all, I think we should do so because the elders have offered this to us for our edification, as a way in which they, as the shepherds of this flock, are seeking to feed the flock. Go to Acts chapter 20 as I ask you to turn there. And remember in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, when Paul talks to the elders in the church in Ephesus, he says this, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." The New King James puts it, "to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." The American Standard rendered it, "to feed." And I think the idea is that shepherding involves that pasturing of the flock, the feeding of the flock. And so I think both ideas are certainly a part of what's in the original language there. The way in which the shepherds can feed the flock is by providing opportunities for teaching, providing opportunities for edification. And so when, in fact, we have these kinds of opportunities, it's a way in which they are fulfilling their work. It's a way in which they are giving us spiritual nourishment. But over in Hebrews chapter 13, I want us to notice something else that is a part of that, because the elders that are set over a local congregation have a serious responsibility, and one that I think we need to appreciate, because God has set up the church in such a way that elders are put in a position in which they can't just focus on their own things. They are concerned with the souls of that flock over which they oversee. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 tells us this. We're going to look at verse 7 a little bit later, but verse 17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. I think that that teaches us when the elders suggest something, when the elders prepare something, when the elders ask something of the congregation, if we are to obey, if we are to be submissive, we do that. We yield to that. We juggle our schedule so we can be a part of that as a way in which we not only take advantage of their feeding of the flock, but as a way in which we support and we show submission to them. Another reason that I think that we all should do what we can to try to be there is because we're talking about something that is a once-a-year kind of opportunity. You know, you may say, well, you know, we have opportunities to worship God every week. That's true. But this is a little different. And the way in which we're doing it is a little bit different. Over in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10, Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10, the context is certainly not talking about studies as we are, but it is talking about the way in which there are opportunities that come upon us to do good. And you'll notice that the text says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, again, I don't want to take this passage out of context, but the principle is when an opportunity presents itself for us to do that which is good, then we need to act upon that. And in the context here, I think it's probably talking about generosity. It's probably talking about ways in which we can offer benevolent help to others. But is not that principle something that ought to apply as well? When we have opportunities for edification, opportunities to praise God, opportunities to glorify God in this community, opportunities perhaps to invite friends and neighbors or their children, this is an opportunity that we need to recognize doesn't come along all the time. It's not going to be something in which every week the elders here are asking three opportunities to worship each week. You know, this is something that comes along once a year. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks to us about our attitude towards time. And you know, we need to recognize that all of us are given just a limited amount of time. And so often, while we are very careful of protecting our time, we often don't recognize that when we have opportunities for good things, opportunities for spiritual enhancement and growth, we need to act upon those opportunities. The way that Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Listen to this. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." In many respects, we need to act upon those opportunities where we can grow in the Word of God. You know, I appreciated the invitation that Ryan gave us some time back where he was talking about different congregations and where he has worshipped. It wasn't an invitation, it was the sermon, actually, that he did last week. And as he was talking about that, one of the points I appreciated was we don't realize sometimes how blessed we are, that we have so many Christians, that we have so many opportunities. You know, if you're ever in a situation where you don't have that, every opportunity will be something you cherish. Let's cherish it and realize this is something that is a once in a year opportunity. We need to also think about that we ought to be here because it is an opportunity in which you and I can support those who have worked very hard to make this possible. Go back to Hebrews chapter 13 with me. And I want you to notice we looked at a text in verse 17 a few moments ago. But back up in verse 7 of this same passage, perhaps talking about leaders in the same way. But I think we need to also think of it in terms of those teachers that have put in the time and effort to prepare material, those who have done what they can to try to make this possible. How is it that we are to view those that put in that labor? At our middle and high school study a few weeks ago, we were talking a little bit about how we ought to have certain attitudes when we come together and worship. And we were talking about how sometimes it might be easy to kind of think, well, this is a little boring. And we drew a comparison with, what if you had a younger brother or sister that was really trying to do something special for you and had made a card or something like that and brought it to you and gave it to you? Would it be the most artistic thing you'd ever seen? No, not necessarily. But you would cherish it because the love that went into all of the work that had been a part of that, you'd appreciate that. You know, the same kind of attitude I think needs to be true when we're talking about sermons that are preached, classes that are taught, efforts that are made in the work of this local church. Verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 13 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Now, along the same lines, look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's look together at verses 12 and 13, where Paul there tells those in Thessalonica, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you," listen to this, "and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." I'll tell you, there's nothing more discouraging than putting in effort and labor and work and nobody seems to even appreciate it. Or effort and labor and work, and nobody shows up. A way in which we can remember, we can recognize, we can esteem very highly those that have done that work is by making sure that we can support it. And we can be there, and we can show them we appreciate that. And that's important to us. Because remember from our first lesson, we're in a battle, aren't we? And one of the ways that we help in that battle is by being there shoulder to shoulder helping those that are laboring in the fight. But I want to offer to you a fourth thing, and this is personal in many respects, because you may think, okay, all of these kinds of things, what do they do for me? Well, I want you to know that if you take the time to commit yourself to be here Thursday and Friday and Saturday, I will guarantee you, you will walk away from this assembly, this time of worship, encouraged. Over in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks to the brethren in Philippi about the things that they focus on in their life. We live in a dark world. You know, you turn on the TV, you look at the internet, there are all sorts of things that can discourage you, that can make you feel downhearted and depressed. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now, I recognize that there are things that we can and should do in our lives that can encourage us and ways in which we are meditating on these things that are pure. But I want to tell you, 3 days this week, you're going to have a great opportunity in which you can fill your mind with joyous things. You can fill your mind with those things that are pure and lovely and of good report. And in a dark world where it's so easy to feel down and depressed, you're going to have an opportunity to have 3 days in which you can walk away feeling encouraged. Now, I mentioned that this opportunity is something that is unique in the fact that, yes, there's going to be a little bit more of an emphasis on young people than is often true, at least in our assemblies or that type of thing. Look with me over in Mark chapter 10, and look with me at verses 13 and 14. We are Christians, and as Christians, we follow the example of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. I think we should learn a little something from what we see, and we're going to just look quickly at two passages that show something about the emphasis that Jesus placed. You know, as adults, we know all the bad things that have happened in life. As adults, we become cynical and we've seen disappointment and discouragement. But young people haven't experienced that yet. Young people still can look at the world with wide eyes and joy. And I can't help but wonder if sometimes the example that we'll notice here in two passages, as Jesus Christ, who even beyond what we're able to, Jesus could look into the heart and see the darkness within people, and yet he so joyously received children. Notice Mark chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Look over in chapter 9 and go down to verse 37, and we'll notice a very similar kind of situation. It wasn't that Jesus didn't have time. It wasn't that Jesus thought, well, that's just focusing on the kids' stuff. Instead, even in these circumstances where Jesus was busy and Jesus was burdened by all sorts of things that were coming upon him, he took the time for that. Verse 37, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." I want us to think about, not only are we going to go away encouraged because of the things we'll learn in the adult classes, the things such as that, but we'll walk away encouraged seeing those little hearts and minds and souls that are open, that aren't jaded by sin and aren't jaded by darkness yet, to see them in the same way that our Lord received them. But there are some other reasons as well that I think we need to recognize we ought to be here. And a fifth reason is because the Lord's money has been used to bring preachers here and to put in effort to teach our children in a special and focused way. And you may say, the Lord's money, what do you mean the Lord's money? Well, the Bible, I think, teaches us that when, in fact, we devote certain things to the Lord, just as in the Old Testament, those things that were given to the Lord became the property of the Lord. And I want you to notice, if you look with me over in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 18, something that is specifically dealing with the example of offering support to a preacher in another place, we're going to see how that is described. It's not just described as bookkeeping. It's not just described as, you know, the necessary kind of physical things. Instead, it is a spiritual work. Notice what it said in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 18. Paul is talking about the care that the Philippians had given to him while he was in another place. Now, you may say, well, how does that compare to bringing in preachers for a summer Bible study? Well, you know, when we talk to the men about coming, the elders are going to cover their expense. The elders are going to offer them some support for the work that they do. That is a way in which support of gospel preaching is going on. I want you to notice what Paul says and how he describes this. Philippians 4 and verse 18. "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you." Listen to this. "A sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." When the elders have made the judgment that this use of the contribution is to be used in that way, it is something we ought to appreciate. It is something that we ought to recognize. This is a way in which the Lord's money is being used for the Lord's work, and we should appreciate that. But also, going back to what we mentioned just a moment ago, not only will you be encouraged, but you will grow in the knowledge of our Lord. Look with me over in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, this congregation and you all are so supportive of me, and you are so kind in the ways that you'll acknowledge appreciation for lessons that I offer. But I recognize, you know, I can say things a certain way and somebody else can say the exact same thing and it registers a little bit different. I've seen that. I've sat at the feet of preachers and seen that as well. And it may be that there will be things that we will hear and we'll look at that we've just never looked at that way before. You know, it's interesting because our knowledge of our Lord is something that it's never exhausted. You talk to preachers that have been preaching the gospel for 50, 60 years, And they will tell you, every time I open my Bible, I learn something new. Every time I hear a lesson, when I'm engaged in it, it's not just that I can sit back and, oh, I know that. Instead, we grow. Notice what we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, he's just talked about some of the things that will happen when the Lord returns. Listen to what he says. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, we recognize when our body gets hungry, if we have an opportunity to eat, we take advantage of that. I think we often fail to realize our soul is hungry. Our soul needs to be fed. And if we really saw it the way that I think the Lord sees it, we would recognize, you know, when I've got an opportunity to feed spiritually, I'm not going to turn away from that. I'm not going to say, no, you know, I'm just going to eat three times a week. We're not going to do that. We feed as often as we can our bodies. We need to feed our souls as well. But another thing, and I want to just simply kind of ask this as a question. Is there a better place to be? Now, you may say, well, I have these things that I need to do. Or you may say, well, you know, I've worked a long week. I need to relax. I need to do that. Well, I realize that there are times and there are things like that. You can rest afterwards. You can rest the week afterwards. You can rest another time. Maybe it's something that you'd plan to do that's enjoyable. Well, you can do that another time as well. But as I mentioned earlier, this is a unique opportunity. Look at a few passages in the Psalms where the psalmist talks about the attitude we ought to have towards those situations in which we can praise our God, those situations in which we can come together with fellow servants of God and worship and glorify Him. Psalm 92 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." Look over in Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And let's notice a very similar kind of idea, but just a little bit different as we think about, well, what should I be doing? Is there something better that I ought to be doing? We're going to have an opportunity to come together and worship our God. We'll have an opportunity to come together and to praise His name. Psalm 147, verse 1, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful." Is that the attitude we have towards worship of our God? That's the attitude the psalmist had. I hope that that's the attitude we have. Here's an opportunity where we can come together and worship God. Look at Psalm 122 and verse 1. Psalm 122. And I realize these are all very similar, but I think it emphasizes the point. You know, when I'm trying to decide, well, should I stay home and browse through the internet? Should I stay home and watch that sitcom that I enjoy watching? Or should I stay home and read that book that I enjoy reading? Well, I realize that you might grow spiritually from reading your Bible or from some other kind of spiritual activity, but are there really things that if you put them on a scale, this is better for me to do Thursday, Friday, and Saturday than going to be a part of this? Psalm 122, verse 1, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" Now, I think it's interesting there where the psalmist says, it's good to come to the house of the Lord. Now, you may say, well, you know, that's the house of the Lord. That's the temple that's worshiping Him in the same way. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, there when it speaks, I'm sorry, chapter 3 and verse 6, when it speaks of Jesus as a faithful son in His house, it makes the little statement that I think needs to echo in our ears, whose house we are. God's people in Christ are the house of God. The psalmist here says, "I was glad when they said, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Brethren, we're given the opportunity. we are given the call, let's go to the house of the Lord. And we're going to have three opportunities this week that are special in which we can do that. I want to end with one thing that perhaps should be paramount above all of these. And that is that we should be here for our summer Bible study because it will glorify the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount says something about the focus and the goal of our life in Christ. We shouldn't just let our faith be something that, while we don't do it to be seen by men, and it's not something we're bragging and trying to show, look how righteous I am or how righteous we are. Jesus does tell us that we are not to hide our faith. When we allow others to see that Christ is important to us and our faith is important, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Will it glorify God if you make it your aim to be here? Absolutely. Over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 15, I want you to notice as Paul begins to wind up his epistle to the church in Rome, he makes a statement in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. He's talked to them in the previous chapter about working together and being considerate of one another in spite of differences that they may have. But then as he begins to kind of summarize that point, he moves into this next chapter with this beautiful statement. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may, listen to this, with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, with one mind and one mouth to glorify our God. May we do so. Well, I hope as we've thought about these things, I'm sure that most of you already had it on your agenda, already had it on your plans to be there. But in case it's something that you had thought, well, that's not really something for me, I hope that as we thought about this, maybe it changes your mind a little bit, because it is a great opportunity. I look forward to it each year, and I appreciate so much the good work that all the teachers and assistants offer to make this possible. There are people working behind the scenes, and I echo what Jeff said. You know, if you haven't done anything with it so far, or you're not one of the teachers, come Tuesday night, because there's work that needs to be done, and it is an encouraging time, just the preparation for it. And then actually having the experience Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You're here this morning, you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. One way in which we glorify God as well is by obedience to Him. Put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. We can't do enough good things that we can forgive even a single sin, but the shed blood of Jesus Christ is what purchases our redemption. But we have to accept that. By putting our faith in Jesus as that sacrifice, as the Son of God, confessing Jesus before men, repenting of sin that separates us from God, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. If as a child of God, sin has come into your life and you have turned to the world and you need to turn back to the Lord, you glorify Him by turning away from sin and darkness and turning back to Him. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?